Hello friends, I'm Coral Dasgupta, founder of Tell Me Your Story and author, back here with my podcast show, The Great Indian Family, in collaboration with Epilogue Media. You can listen to the podcast on epilogue.media. You can also hear us on Spotify, JioSaavn, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, CastBox, and other podcast apps. And now, the podcast show is also available on Alexa. In my fourth book, Summer Holidays, cousins gang up to bring together their warring parents. Not always, the parents can take the perfect decision for their children and for themselves. Mind blocks, uncertainties, and peer pressure constantly cast their shadows. All these lead to comic situations in my book Summer Holidays, but in reality, it might be quite a task when you feel that decisions that elders have taken for you is not exactly right. That's when it is upon the offspring to help them with reverse learning by knowing what she wants, following it up with passion, and setting examples. This and more I will explore today with my guest today. We have with us writer, art director, filmmaker, ex-ad lady, and producer, Ashwini Aiyar Tiwari. Welcome to the show, Ashwini.
Hi, Coral. How's your writing today in the morning?
Thank you so much. It's been good. And I'm waiting to read your book whenever it comes out. And I really hope that it comes out very soon.
Hopefully, I write it quickly. I think I just get too lazy sometimes. Once I write, I'm like writing a lot, and then I don't look at it, I think, for days. And then I come back and I'm like, oh my God, I have to finish my book. So now I think I'm going to keep deadlines.
Oh yes,
deadlines
please.
Work, right?
Absolutely, it does. Though I have not been an organized author at all. Before I start writing, I have no idea what I'll write.
Yeah.
But so are you an organized author, or you are equally in the...
Yeah, I'm not even an author right now. We write our screenplays very diligently. Mm. It's because we have like a timeline set there. We have a lot of, we are responsible for a lot of things. But I think when you're writing a book, it's very different than writing a screenplay for a film. It's because there's no one looking at you. So you're your own boss.
True
and
that.
Then you're not responsible for anyone. You're responsible for your own self.
Totally.
So it is like when you finish, you finish. But the thing is that I think if I sign up with a publication... Mm-hmm. Or a publishing house.
They will give you a deadline.
Then they will give me a deadline.
Your manuscript should come to us within 16 months of signing this contract.
So that's why I'm very scared of signing with a publishing firm, is because then I'll be having a deadline again.
I totally get that. So Ashwini, how did your childhood look like?
So I come from this middle class family from... Mm-hmm. I'm 1979, the 70s.
Late 70s.
This 79, 80. So, you know, there's a huge shift between 79 and 80.
I know.
And I just turned 40. So it's like cool to see a whole... Now I feel that, oh, I really become old. Generation gap. But yeah, I belong to those 80s time where I think it was more liberal. Both my parents were teachers, and my father was a plant pathologist, and he used to teach botany in Algeria in French, and my mother was a school teacher. She was teaching geography and English. So I've born and brought up in a household which was only amongst teachers, you know. So my uncle was an IIT prof, so that's how it has always been. I kind of really like that kind of setup, is because they were okay with the one child. And at that point of time, I happened to be a girl, and it was still fine. It was nice to see them encouraging me to do a lot of art. So I, like a typical South Indian, I think Bengali South Indians, all of us are put into dance music.
We must sing, you must dance.
I must sing, I must dance, I must be studying. So basically all the, I did my Bharatnatyam, I finished my Arangetam, then I went for classical music, and I told them that I'm not going to do Carnatic music, I'm going to do Hindustani classical. So I studied Hindustani classical, then I was really good at drawing. And but my interest was only good at drawing and those creative aspects of of studies, which at that point of time was looked as a big no. It's because studies means you have to do your maths and science, and you have to like be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do your English and you have to do your arts and then you get into becoming a journalist, which is a very professional job.
Mm.
So I was always looked as at my teachers, and I still remember this thing. And today when I look back and I look at my children, the pressure on them is far lesser.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I was almost like asked to sit like a murgi, you know,
mm-hmm.
And because I had not done something. This I'm talking about that time.
I understand.
And it was very humiliating at that point of time.
Mm.
And I used to feel that, was it really like, look at the pressure that I'm not, and I was not good at certain subjects, but I was very good at certain subjects.
Mm.
So I was asked to sit with a very intelligent, studious girl on the first bench.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever she did, I needed to do that.
Mm.
You know, so she used to keep an
be
eye
like
on
her.
Me. She used to keep an eye on me, whether I'm doing my math properly, whether I'm doing my, you know, chemistry, physics and all properly.
Mm.
But I was very interested in biology, anything which is geography, mm. history. I was very good at Hindi, Marathi, because I'm from Bombay, very good in Hindi, Marathi languages, mm. English. But no one looked at those aspects.
So the reverse didn't happen? In these subjects, you were not expected to mentor someone?
In these subjects, I was not expected to mentor someone because these were like, okay.
Faltu subjects.
Faltu subjects.
Okay.
So, you know, that was the thing. So I was very good at sports.
Mm-hmm.
Very good at pyramids and long jump. And every year long jump, I used to get
medals.
So I was very good at those things, but no one used to like really encourage those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was very clear, like maybe she encouraged that. And my father also was very clear. He also used to encourage the artistic side
mm-hmm.
of me. And maybe somewhere they had it in them, but it could not come out because of
the social
responsibilities. And then it somewhere got to me, but it still, it was not a career option.
True that.
It was not a career option. So
mm-hmm.
by the time I was passing my class 10,
mm-hmm.
I got about 82%, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was forced to join commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, my worst subjects, I'm forced to do that, you know. How can I even do that?
Mm-hmm.
Do something like that. And I was told that that because we are a family of, you know, engineers CAs and all that. So even if you do that, you can just go abroad
mm-hmm.
and then you will find a good guy in
okay.
the US, and like a typical Tambram, I'm supposed to marry a guy
mm-hmm.
Either who will be studying here and then who will go to the US to do his MS
mm-hmm.
or I'll be finding a guy from there who would be doing, and basically I'll also be transported to US. So migrated to US. So,
mm-hmm.
And I still remember when I was in class 12,
mm-hmm.
I was in class 11. I needed about 65 marks to pass in that bookkeeping
mm-hmm,
or whatever
mm-hmm.
to get into class 12.
Mm.
I somehow managed it. I somehow like managed it.
Mm.
And then in class 12, October 2nd, Gandhi Jayanti, I like literally put my foot down. I cried at home and I said that I'm not going to be doing this anymore. I want to get into drawing. I want to be a painter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be a painter. I used to do a little bit of theater also at that point of time.
Okay.
So there were these, like, you know, the stand up mind your language thing where they give you a topic and then you have to enact it on the spot.
Mm.
So we used to do all that. We had groups during college time to do all that. And so my mom said that, okay, fine. If that is the case, then at least finish your 12th, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go without your 12th. So I said, okay, fine. That was like about, 5-6 months more?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out, and she was the one who found out through her friends that, you know, there's something called advertising and something called commercial arts
mm-hmm.
where you do art commercially and you get a job
mm-hmm.
or you get a job in a publishing house or
mm-hmm.
the Times of India or any of those, you know, newspaper or magazines
mm-hmm.
Where you get paid for what you do. So you don't have to be like a painter. So that's how I went into it. And
mm-hmm.
Right from my first year, I started working. I started doing this small logo design. So that one thing which is very clear, that my mom was very ambitious that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have to work.
Mm.
There's no option, you know. You have to get educated. You have to work. And then after you work, you have to fall in love, do not get into an arranged marriage kind of thing.
Mm.
And then you have to again have kids, but then don't stop working after kids. you have mm-hmm. to continue working. You know, you mm-hmm. always do what you think is right.
Mm-hmm.
How you want to follow your path.
Mm-hmm.
Because a husband can come, everything can be there, but you still have to follow what you need to do.
Mm. Your identity is
very important. So that was engraved in my upbringing very much. It was so engraved. So from foundation I started working and I was, of course, my mother could not afford my education fee and everything. I wanted to go to NID after my final year
mm-hmm.
and then I realized I was a gold medalist when I passed out from Sofia right. Polytechnic, and I wanted to go to NID, and that time NID was 70,000 a year. I started giving lectures in NID now and I was telling the dean there, you know, it's such a full circle that doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you can still, like, you know, be there. So I said I wanted to be here but I couldn't, and now you're coming and telling me please come and teach her. it's so nice, you know. It's so
true that.
It's just a journey which has just taken me one after the other. And when I joined advertising, true. I was a workaholic mm-hmm. and also I was like a studious person mm-hmm. like, you know, so my job is as important to me,
a Bengali, like, and a South Indian.
So I was very very studious and right. I used to do my work very diligently, and so I got a lot of awards, Cannes, One Show, New York Festival, everything. I mean, you name it, go. I mean, everything. All that awards came in, plus did a lot of brand work. A lot of my clients are still very, very close friends of mine, and big brands like P&G and Sony Entertainment Television and all Unilever, Whisper, Stay Free. I mean, I've done everything. So, handle all kinds of brands. And then I realized that now I need to shift. And that's a point, which is a turning point, is because my kids were 3 years old and I said I want to make films. And the first reaction, Ritesh's reaction, was not that you should not be making films, because I've had experience in advertising. I've made like over 200-300 films, you know,
right.
So it was not like I didn't have that experience for making films, but feature film is a different ball game altogether
yeah.
And feature film is equal to Bollywood. So it's like I do not know anyone, you know. How am I going to create
that network?
But in my head, it was not about how I'm going to do it. It was because it was why am I doing it. The reason why was very important for me. The reason why was so important for me is because I wanted my stories to travel across every nook and corner of this country. And the kind of stories which I wanted to say was not aping any other previous storytellers who have come in our country. It was my individualistic kind of storytelling, and that's how Nilbatti happened.
It had
all the things which was not good for a—
it broke a lot of mind blocks, you know?
It was all— everything which was there in that was basically ingredients for a bad cake.
Like, no, it wasn't.
No, I'm saying—
I know that. At the making stage, you mean?
Yeah, at an idea level itself.
Yes.
At an idea level, in a time and age where everyone was showing a certain class of society, I'm going to reverse and showing a mother from a straight-up society which people are not used to seeing on camera.
Correct.
And even if they're used to seeing it, it used to happen in the 1970s and the 1960s,
right.
where the National School of Drama kind of film, you know. So it was that, a farmer's wife, you know, those kind of things. We are talking about 2013, 15 is when it released.
And it was
a commercial
film.
It had all the ingredients of commerce in it. And I'm talking about a protagonist who's a female. And then she has a daughter who is a female. And that's the story I'm talking about. So it had all the ingredients which people claim to be that it would be a disaster, is because it doesn't have all the— but I do realize with the changing times of a country and with the knowledge each and every individual is bringing in, they are open to new ideas.
Yeah.
They are open to new sources of information.
Correct.
And that's why we have so many good storytellers right now in our country. We have so many good writers. We have writers. We have artists. We have from just normal abstract painting, you're going into 3D and you're going into just showcasing and acting, and that's you're going to audio video, right?
True.
So how did that all come? And people are going and watching it also.
True.
So with changing times, movies also need to change, and that's what I did with Nilbatti. And I did it with all my heart, and I did it without any preemptions of Bollywood, Star, all those things. And then Bareilly happened. And Bareilly also happened with the same intention.
I think that, I still laugh when I remember Rajkumar Rao in it.
Yeah. It feels very good even today that I have never promoted myself. But it's nice to know that people know me through my films.
Absolutely.
And that's very, very...
empowering achievement.
Very empowering. Is that people... I just had gone to my doctor day before yesterday because I just came out of dengue. Oh. So I'd gone for a D3 shot and everything. And there was this one woman who was waiting there. She's so unwell. She was waiting there. And she was like, are you Ashwini? I said, you're so unwell. She said, I have watched Bareilly Ki Barfi at least 15 times. And right now also I'm unwell to laugh. I go back to see that film. I said, please take care of yourself. You're so unwell.
I know.
So again, it was always breaking norms, not following any rhythm. And I'm filled with gratitude that Ayushman, Rajkumar and Kriti actually, and Pankaj Tripathi. And also the kind of actors which I chose were, have not been doing films like these. So it was, it's my belief that with every film I make, I need to get in new energy, new actors, so that their life also starts moving ahead. And I think I've kind of done it. I hope in Panga also I do the same thing. So I'm just going with the flow right now. And I do feel that let the stories talk, let the films talk. Mm-hmm. And everything else will happen as a byproduct.
Mm-hmm. Ashwini, I remember you telling me that you were an introvert when you were a child.
I'm still an introvert.
You are still an introvert.
Yeah, and I'm still an introvert. I was an introvert. I do not have too many friends. And I think at that point of time, when at an early age... when you are into a very creative space, a lot many people try to understand you. They think that you are mad or something has happened to this little girl. But I like being that way. I used to love walking in the rains. I used to love having my own time. And also because maybe I was a single child. Mm-hmm. So I spent most of my time doing my own thing. Mm. So I used to read a lot. I used to paint. And because my father used to stay abroad and my mother was here. So she used to go to school, come back. Mm. So by the time she comes back, I was alone at home for about 4 or 5 hours, you know.
And I know that world. I also come from that kind
of
world.
Yeah, so our parents never worried about who or if she's alone at home or your child is alone at home. Mm. Now we are like very, I don't know, the whole world can turn upside down if you leave our child alone at home. But I have grown up like that, you know. I've grown up on Star movies and you know, watching movies and watching reading and that. So I've always been there. So I think in art school also it was like that. We had a couple of friends, but I always had a different perspective about life. And also I think that somewhere I was very studious about the thing that I needed to do something in life. I needed to get a good job because you know I needed to support my family. So that whole thing was there in my brain.
I think that
brains,
was the natural ethos of middle class at that time.
Yeah, and also I needed to go out. After school life is because I was studying and then I was going and doing event management and I was designing logos. So 5 years of my life was just about working. And then I got into an agency where again I told you I was studio. So there also, but I had friends, but not like, you know, close friend. The actual close friends right now I have are only like three. If you count, out of which one is my husband. And soon my daughter, I think, will become my best friend also.
Okay.
I think another 2-3 years and she'll be there. 3-4 would be my like real good friends, I can say. And now I've reached a stage where I'm not looking for happiness from other people. I've reached a stage
powerful statement to make.
Yeah. I've reached a stage where I do not want the approval of people. So I'm okay to be in my own space and I'm okay to not be out there. Like Meryl Streep said, you know, that whole quote of hers still holds true that, you know, the people who are not necessary in my life, you know, just let them go. I have no time and energy for any of those things. And we have to reach our places because otherwise you will get into this whole... But people like us who want to work, then we have children, we have a family, we have a house to take care of, like what you were saying in the morning today, you know. We get into this thing called fatigue syndrome.
Oh, yes.
It is not depression, it is not anxiety, it is not anything related to stress. It is fatigue, which is a different thing altogether. It is basically the whole, the symptoms are like, looks as if you're depressed or something, but no, I'm not depressed. I'm just
fatigued. Want to keep to yourself.
I just want to keep to myself. And I went through this like in January, where this January, February, where I felt, my God, what is happening to me? Kids, work, you know, the whole thing. I don't want to even pick up the phone. That happens is because you're putting too much of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're also putting this pressure that, you know, we need to be looking and feeling and behaving a certain way in society, and what society is going to be thinking of us.
Yeah. You know, there's an academic research which says, I was just reading it the other day, it says that 90% of the goals that you have in your life is not your goal.
Yeah, exactly.
It comes from your peers, and you go with it, and you go mad with it.
Yeah, because I feel that, and I think the more pressure is on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Instagram is putting too much of pressure on me. I got out of Facebook because I just didn't understand why is everyone so nice and why is everyone having a perfect life on Facebook.
I swear, I am very much there, but I have deleted the app from my mobile. And you trust me, it's so much sanity in life.
Seriously. Yeah, and it's nice because a lot of friends, your family, you know, your relatives and all are there on Facebook. But now there are like these little groups and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm fine with that. But I kind of felt that it was a waste of time, and all I was doing was just scrolling on the phone.
Yeah.
But I can't get out of Instagram is because I just love, I love Instagram for the pure photography. I follow a lot of photographers, a lot of design, a lot of interior, a lot of environmental stuff. So, you know, embroidery, gardening, throughout, like you can just like, if you want to follow Stefan Steckmaster and know what he's doing right now, you know what Stefan Steckmaster is doing. He's a great designer from US. So I do that. But somewhere I think there has to be a gap, is because what happens is that you are somewhere in your back, and it's very human to do that you start comparing yourself with others out there.
Absolutely.
And people like us cannot afford to start comparing ourselves with others and just be satisfied, because you have to compete with your own self.
Absolutely.
Which has happened, which has been very clearly my motto right from the beginning. So none of these things has never come in between. It's because I always feel that today, yes, I've made a film. You must have written a book. It's doing very well. My film has done very well. But tomorrow, this is also in transit.
Absolutely.
This is also in transit. And when this is in transit, you have to be in a space where it's almost in a zen mode, where you're not, nothing, you don't get excited, very excited about certain things, or you don't get very low also about anything.
Ashwini, one thing that I think the audience must know from you, that at one point of time you decided that CA is not for you, which I think, coming from the family that you came from, it was a very brave decision to take, and to be able to talk about it to the family, it must have taken a lot of courage to you. How did you get to convincing yourself first before you even spoke about it to the family?
I was what, 16, 17? 17 years old. And
that is a very tender age.
17 years old is a very, I'm also very impulsive that way.
Okay.
I'm also very
impulsive. Yeah.
So if I decide something, I just go and do it. And I can, if I want to run away to the mountains, I can do that. So now, of course,
you have two little kids.
Too little, no? Now they've become big. Okay. So they're not little anymore. People who, children who understand how to do everything little anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're pretty manipulative in their
space. They're very, very manipulative. Yeah. So I had decided. And maybe because of the sense that I've always been like a thinking person, and you know, and that's why I've been isolated that way, my intuitions have levels are grown much now it's grown like really high, but at that point of time also, and that's what parents fail to realize, if our child is saying something like this, which means there is something they're also thinking. They're not stupid. We think they don't understand things, but they understand everything.
Yeah.
And if my daughter is doing the same thing right now, like if I had done the same thing, my parents would have thought she's mad. We need to figure something out with her. You know, my daughter tells me that, oh, I wish I had a ladder. I could go and climb and see the moon. Now, that's a very artistic expression of her.
True.
I'm looking at her that way because she is artistic and she's quite sentimental about things, which there's a very, that's a very art behavior. That's a very artist behavior. It's a very creative thinking behavior.
True.
That she'll start thinking and, you know, she'd cry sometimes. That's not because there's something hurting her or it's a perfect life for her right now. But the same thing if we had done, it would be a problem.
True.
And I think that was the gap. But I was very adamant. And when and for me, it is basically once I decide something, then I have to go and do it. I really don't care about then what the world says. That includes respect to my parents, but not so much that.
I think from there, when I look at the parental generation, I feel that there is a need for them to set things right in our lives. And their right may not be right for us, you know.
Exactly.
That is where the conflict arises.
Exactly. Their right cannot be right for us. And it's a huge gap. It's because I hate going for weddings. I hate going for weddings. And I don't know how many fights I've had with my mother on that, even today. And all my relatives also know about it, that I'm not the type who can really come for weddings unless it's like some really, like my first cousin or someone who's getting married and I have to be there. But otherwise, I really don't like going for weddings. I just feel it's such a waste of time for me. Waste of time, not because I don't want to go there.
I understand.
I don't know what to go and do there, you know?
Right. So, Ashwini, which aspects of your parents do you think you have inherited which has led to your success today?
My father's artistic sensibilities. I've grown up hearing music in the morning.
Okay. Did he play as well?
He plays the violin.
Oh.
So I've grown up listening to his music. I've grown up hearing M.S. Subbalakshmi. I've grown up reading. We are a family of plants. The reason why I say family of plants is because my father was a plant pathologist.
Okay.
And my mother and my masi and all my nani, everyone was very interested in plants. So we used to grow little vegetables and all, and we used to discuss that.
True.
So I've seen my mother, my nani, my masi, everyone stitching their blouses and all at home. Clothes, like we used to get all these dresses and these petticoats and all stitched.
Hand-stitched.
Including embroidery and everything. You know, so we've grown up from that. That aspect. And it's nice to be there. It's really nice to be there is because today's day and age has become too fast. It's good to go back and just be there. So paints were given to me. And my mom was in school. So, you know, I used to get a lot of these paints and brushes and all these things free. So my father had this like this small camera, which was a micro lens camera because botany. So you need to click those fungus and all that stuff. So, you know, I've grown up with all that. Reading, of course, seeing. So that artistic sensibilities definitely has come from my father. And the positivity to go ahead and do things.
The hunger for success.
The hunger. I wouldn't say hunger for success, but that you need to do something. Because hunger for success will have a very wrong connotation. That, you know, I
understand.
No, it's not that. It's that you need to stand up for yourself and you need to be doing things. And you need to have your own mind. It comes from my mother because my mother and me stayed alone for a very long time. So that whole aspect of independence and doing things on your own is because that time it was always like that, right? The father was in Dubai or this thing and typical South Indian thing. So that has always changed perspectives is because I've seen it's two women growing up in one house and Masi. So, you know, it's like just that.
So, of course, I understand that you were born and brought up in Bombay.
Yeah, in a place called Mulund.
Okay,
now, which
Mulund.
Is no more. It was supposed to be the hill station. But now it's not. It's a mall station now.
So, one culture of your childhood family which you would like to pass to your children and one culture of your childhood family that you would never pass to your children.
So, one culture of my childhood family would be... actually, there are two. And
yes,
I
please,
really
please,
want to say
please,
that. Is that the way they have kept... And when I say they, is because I feel that my Masi, my Nani, all of them are also equally part
family.
Of my family, you know. Where they have kept our traditional food still intact. I always tell my mom, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to pass on my Palakkad food, which I love? I'm a Palakkad ayer, right? So how am I going to ever pass on that food? That little things you make, the chutneys which you make, the avials and the sambar and everything, the powder which you'll cook, that tradition has to pass on, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just open a restaurant. And I'll tell my Masi to just, she's like a padaku type, so she can write everything. And other thing which I would, actually two things. Another thing which I'll pass on is the simplicity.
Okay.
To be grounded always, because this is something which my mom told me very recently. He said that they ask you for one pencil, you get them 10 pencils. It's not right.
True.
Till the time one pencil doesn't get over, do not give them the second pencil. And that really put a, it actually put a thing in my mind. Is because when we used to have a compass box and we used to have a pencil, a rubber and everything, we used to keep it. Remember our Camlin boxes and all used to like just go
the color
off.
Pencils.
The everything.
The 24 color pencils. I mean, those used to be treasure.
They used to be treasure so that you look forward for the next one. Right now, they're looking forward for the next dress. Or
they have three,
looking,
four already. No?
They have all three, four already. And it was not like I used to look forward for my Diwali dress or I used to look forward for my thing. So there's nothing to look forward to. There's no happiness. It's because okay, why don't you just go to Amazon and just
and they ask for things very casually. My child has just asked for a thing which I looked up on Amazon and I figured out that it's 10,000. And when he asked, he didn't even look at the prices. He just asked because he can ask.
So right now my case is the same. Is it like, why don't you just look in online and just check it and buy it for me, because he knows it's going to come home. That simplicity, that thing of, you know, restraining yourself, and you may have the money, but do not, just because you have the money, do not indulge. And that whole aspect of ordering food from outside. My mother cringes on that.
I know.
She says that, why? Why do you have to order something every week? Isn't that becoming a bit too much?
I know.
Like, I'll make it at home, you know. And all our parents say that, you know, we'll make the same thing at home. So my cook was on leave and I said, okay. And my mother told me, should I come and all that stuff? I said, no, don't let it be. And I don't know to cook for adults. And we ordered idli, sambar chutney from the Udipi restaurant. This is right outside our house. Everything came. Vada came, idli came, all that things came. We opened and my mom arrived.
I can understand what must have happened.
It was like almost being caught copying in school. Because she was like, you have ordered idli sambar at home. This is what I raised you for.
This is what I raised you for. I understand where that question comes from.
Disaster. I said, why didn't you call? I said, why should I call my daughter to come to my house? I just felt like coming today. I don't have to ask you for permission to come to my house. So talking about family, that becomes a little issue.
I know.
It's because the whole focus is on me.
Yeah.
It's not divided. That. If you had one more child, the focus had shifted.
Yeah.
But what happens with me is that the focus is totally on me from day zero till now.
True.
So till now, my mom keeps a check on whether I've gone and sold my gold.
Oh, yes, that happens with me as well. God.
Oh, God. Show me where is your gold. I said, nothing I have. What you bought for me? After that, I have not bought anything.
Yeah. Even
no,
I
no,
am
you're
not
lying
a very
to me
gold fanatic.
Because you have gone and sold everything. You're not showing me anything. So,
so even my mother thinks
fine,
that
can
I do
one
that.
Thing. Just take whatever you gave me. Keep it with you. Whenever I need it, I'll ask. I don't need it anyways. But still, if I want to, I will.
I know.
I will take it from you. So. It's like, oh, there's so much of food like that. Oh, there's so much. You don't use this thing. So it's like an inspection. Every time she comes home, it's like an inspection at home. But I realize that it's with everyone.
Yeah, it is.
It's with everyone. And they don't really care.
I know. I am not a jewelry person
at
all. I'm 40
and she still asks me questions. I'm scared.
Yeah. Very, very pointed questions. And directly on your face.
Directly on
Aren't
your
you
face.
Aren't you making enough money these days? What do you say? Why is this? Why are you doing this like this then? Hey, mom, I want it like this.
How many
your gold? You sold your gold? You're doing a startup, no? You sold your gold? No, I didn't do that. I mean, how can I do that?
So that's a family. That's exactly your... I think we should sum up with this.
Dil Dharakne though, she watched it, she asked me. Said Priyanka Chopra had sold her gold. She asked me. Gold to nahi bhej diya. Ye startup what up kya hai?
You know, so these kind of experiences actually come, I use a lot in my films.
Yeah.
So if you see Seema Pava's character.
Yeah.
comes a lot for my mother. Who'll keep cribbing about things but loves her enough.
Oh, yes.
So I who mean, knows, who knows that, that she's smoking but oh, really yes. will still be
she'll
like...
She'll stay in denial.
So I think my mother is going to be there in... Part of my mom is going to be there in every film.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's there in Panga also.
I remember that
I was
that
telling
scene.
Nina ma'am. Nina ma'am yeah. is Nina in Panga, right?
Right.
Nina Gupta ma'am. So I told Nina ma'am, आपको अभी मैं कैसे बोलूँ, आपको जैसे आप मसबा के साथ बिहेव करते हो वैसा करना है, जैसे मेरी मम्मी मेरे साथ करती है. बोला बेटा वो सब सेम ही होता है, मिक्स हो जाएगा.
I remember that dialogue of Seema Pava that she had just got the chit that the girl has fled.
Yeah.
And then she starts with a beti and then she finds her coming back and she's very disappointed.
Yeah, because they're all very melodrama, right?
Yeah. इतनी जल्दी कि वापस आई थोड़ी देर तो मतलब.
So nowadays my mother and my conversation is happening on messaging.
Right.
Because on phone, she can go on and on.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, mother, if you're hearing this thing. But yeah, she knows that now. So right now it is messaging because she can message as much she wants.
Oh, yeah.
And then I can read and then I can message her back. And then this, I can't say no short messages, right? So it's that.
My mom these days is on Facebook. So each and everything
oh,
that I write has a question.
I have to tell you that also. So for the longest time, I didn't tell her I was on Instagram.
Okay.
Later on, she got to know, obviously, because of the public profile or whatever.
Right.
So I used to keep seeing that someone called Katha is always liking my post and writing something. And I was like, hey, Katha, kaun hai? Matlab, wapas, wapas. And I didn't see the profile picture. So my mom's home name is Lata.
Okay.
Bahar ka naam is Lakshmi. So ghar pe naam Lata hai. And I said, are you on Instagram as Katha? She said, yeah. Achha, you got to know. I said, because every day you put a like and then I saw the profile pictures, a kid's profile picture, like both my kids. So obviously, and all the likes is coming from you, only all the comments also are coming from you. But you forgot to put the last, you forgot that you could, if you had not put the last name, I would have not recognized.
I know, you know, at times I write nice things on FB or wherever and then I get it complete. You know, just hawa se nikal ke zameen pe phekna, waisa hi hota hai. Haan, tum ye sab badi badi baatein likhti ho Facebook mein. And then you're like, are, I wrote something so profound.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
is down
yeah.
on the earth.
Yeah. And the best part about my mother is that we can make actually your stories on mother stories. You know?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. So the best part about my mother is that I get a film fair.
Hmm.
So the first film fair I got, obviously, she didn't come for it. The second film fair, I said, mile nahi mile, I'll still get her. Let her at least see the whole magic, okay? So, no, the first film fair also she had come.
Okay.
Because Nitesh was nominated for Dangal and I was nominated for Nilbate.
Hmm.
And both of us got the same year.
Right.
So that year she was very happy. The next year, she said, oh, you have to get again this year. I said, I have no idea.
Hmm.
So we'll just say, why don't you find out? I said, how can I find out and all? We can't find out all these things. So she came.
Hmm.
The moment my name was announced, no, she didn't come for film fair. She came for Zee Cine Awards.
Okay.
And that was the first time a woman as a director had got an award in 20 years as best director.
Okay.
Zee Cine Awards. The moment my name was announced, so that's Bitti ka wo gana chal raha tha, Barili wala gana. She stood up and she started dancing. She started dancing. In the round table, she started dancing. And Nitesh was like, what's happening here? And I'm like, I went on the stage and there I'm looking at
it's okay. It's so much allowed.
Yeah.
She lived for that moment.
I was like, Ma, please. The next time, she said, you'll call me again. I said, if you're going to dance like this, I'm going to call. If I get it, if you dance like this, no.
I know.
You're not.
But I think those are the beautiful moments we have lived for and they have lived for.
Yeah. So these are the things I'm going to take, you know.
Absolutely. Takeaways from
they're also getting old now. So, you know, they get into their own depression mode and they feel that we're not giving them enough importance and we do not give them enough time and they feel very neglected sometimes.
Right.
But what has happened is that during the course, she's learned to start living for herself rather than living for others.
Hmm.
So the one thing which I do not want my children to take is that please live for yourself. Do not live for others because throughout their lives, our parents have always lived
for others.
For others, that. Which is basically the husband. Or the husband.
Relatives, husband.
Relatives, the parents. Whatever. You're just living for everyone. That somewhere you've lost out on your own identity.
Yeah.
Like at the age of 60 is when they get their first passport.
Yeah.
Because they've just been there, you know, they've been just taming. And for and they feel that it's a responsibility. And if they get out of their responsibility, it's guilt. Just we don't think that way. We feel exactly. that it's fine, you know. Everyone has their own life and it's important that you start thinking for yourself. It's okay to go out in an evening, have a good dinner and come back. And it's okay not to see your children sleep.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, absolutely. We don't have to feel guilty about it.
True that.
We do not have to... get into
freak out about it.
Freak out about it. And it's okay. Absolutely. It's okay if your kids say once, I'm missing you, where are you? Okay, fine. Tomorrow I'll be there. It's okay, chill.
Yeah, true.
And the one thing which I would not want to take forward is this obsession that you're responsible for everything.
Yes.
Even today, my kids are 9 years old. I don't think I'm responsible for the kind of clothes she wears. She knows exactly what she wants to pick up and she goes and wears. I don't have to feel like you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to be like this only. Hmm. This is how you have to chart your life. And
true that.
It's like, just let's be easy about it. Let's be easy about it, but without let going of the family values, which is always the case, you know.
Absolutely.
Till the time you're good human beings, till the time you are doing something of value to society, I think we are home. Because absolutely. For everything else, there is Google.
Absolutely. Ashwini, we move to the next section where I'll ask you some fun questions.
Yeah.
And you can tell me your way. So the first is, if you were a fictional character from a book, who would you be and why?
Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
Always. I always felt I'm Alice in Wonderland. I always felt that I'm like, I always keep imagining things.
Mm.
And I, even when I'm very much interested in mixed, I'm interested in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to do a course in psychology, but timings are not matching, but I eventually would.
I think by now you know more about psychology by doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
than any academic course can afford.
And I love seeing people. I love seeing mixed minds and... And I also embrace people of all kinds. I don't go with other people's judgment that this person is like this, that person is like this. Life doesn't work that way.
True that. Absolutely.
So yeah, Alice in Wonderland. If from a movie, it would be Emily.
Emily. Great. And what is the most filmy thing you told your family before you became a filmmaker?
You can meet Amitabh Bachchan.
Okay. Okay.
But I think most filmy is Bollywood. The name Bollywood is only filmy.
Yes, totally.
Like, that's itself. The Bollywood is filmy.
Totally. I agree. If your life is made into a biopic, who would play Ashwini?
Oh my God. Difficult question. Very difficult question. Oh my God. I can give you two names. First will be Kangana.
Your hairs are similar.
No, her hair is very beautiful.
Oh yeah, she is more curly.
She's more curly. She's fair. She doesn't like being said that. Like,
oh.
She's very particular about all these
people
things.
People from the hills, they have great hair and
they have great hair
skin.
And great skin.
Seriously.
But there's a reason. Like, she stands up for dusky skins. You know, she's such a promoter of that. Yeah. So
one is Kangana.
Kangana. And the other one would be Vidya.
Vidya, okay.
I think so, yeah. Or maybe from the south, then I would Revati.
Revati? Lovely. Okay, the last question comes from this question. Your husband, Nitesh Tiwari, is a celebrated filmmaker. Given a choice, would you allow him to make your biopic?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is because he would... You only choose subjects which you're closely associated with, especially mm-hmm. when you're doing biographies, you know.
True.
So it is nice to have at least an instinct of that.
Hmm.
And who better than him knowing
absolutely
me, like, you know.
From back of his hand.
Yeah.
So, Ashwini, the next section is truth or myth. Here, I'll just utter some sentences.
Yeah.
You can interpret them the way they appear in your life. Not necessarily what I mean, but totally interpret them the way you want to mean, and then tell me whether it is a truth or a myth. The film world is adventurous but ruthless. Truth or myth?
It's a myth.
Myth. Women filmmakers...
It's not ruthless at all.
It is not ruthless.
No, it's not. It's actually very welcoming.
Really?
Yeah. The film world is very welcoming. Otherwise, you wouldn't... What is happening right now? I'm talking about the last 5 years.
Yes.
The last 5 years, you would see writers,
it has opened
directors
up much more
from every small town possible. And it's not restricted to only a certain...
class.
A certain kind of storytelling, you know.
Okay.
A certain people. It is open to everyone. And when it is open to everyone, who are the people who are giving them a chance? It is the existing people, right?
True.
So I feel that they are very, very welcoming. All you need to have is a good story. And all you need to have is... because only your talent can take you forward. You can keep shouting and screaming about things. You can keep saying whatever, but ultimately your work and your talent is what will take you forward.
Take it ahead.
And that no one can stop you from that.
True that. Number two, women filmmakers have to push harder?
Not anymore. But I think when I started off in Nilbate, during Nilbate, it was, which I didn't face a problem in advertising, is because there were a whole lot of women there.
Yeah.
So it's basically the comparison of amount of people versus what is happening, right?
True.
So from when I started to now, there are still like, there's so many of us that's, you're asked, but you're not asked in as many words which you would be asked like 5 years ago.
True.
So it's opened up. It's opened up in all aspects of filmmaking. Like you have gaffers who are women, you have sound designers who are women, like every across. So writing, there has always been a lot of women. So that's never been questioned, right? Have you ever like asked a screenplay writer, why are you a woman screenplay writer?
Absolutely.
We never asked that. Because direction has always been a very high intensity job. Like I think being a pilot and being a director came at the same time. Now when people see a woman pilot, like, wow, you know. Initially they used to see a woman pilot, they used to doubt that the plane chalegi ki nahi chalegi. Right? The same thing with direction also. That a moment a woman holds the mic, it was like, will she be able to manage so much, you know? But now it's not the case anymore. Because people are getting very used to this whole thing.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The biggest part is that I was shooting in a small town in Agra. And when your line producer the first time doesn't accept someone giving him orders as a woman... The second time I was shooting with him, he came and asked me that his daughter wants to get into direction and what are the different kind of courses available. Can she come and train? That's how things open up.
True that.
So I do feel that we need to be out there.
Absolutely.
Especially people like us who have had absolutely no background whatsoever and who is trying to tell stories, and our directors need to be out there so that we can encourage more and more
participation. Okay, so if I had to ask you, who were the following in your family? Number one is Narottam Mishra of Bareilly Ki Barfi, the thinking babuji and funny one.
Not really. It's a created character.
Okay.
There's a one thing of talking to the fan.
Yeah, I mean, Narottam Mishra, I felt that he is the
talking
very empathetic,
the fan,
funny.
Talking
and,
to the fan comes purely from, from Nitesh's dad.
Okay.
It's because when the whole, no one listens to them, I think that comes from a very, very amazing insight that when no one is listening to you, after a certain age, you start talking to the fan. That I saw my cook talking to the
utensils.
The dosa, she was talking to the utensils. I said, "What happened?" And she said that something had happened at home. No one's listening to her. She's talking to the utensil. We talk to our laptops, right?
Oh yes.
I mean, long before it was called stupid, but I think it's fine.
Now it happens here.
Yeah, you talk to yourself, and it's important to talk to yourself.
Yeah, true that. Number two, the district collector of Nilbate Sannata.
Pankaj ji, right?
Sanjay Suri.
Sanjay Suri has a character has come because Nitesh came from UP, right?
Right.
Born and brought up in UP, but then in Madhya Pradesh, and his whole family is from North India, and they have a lot of IAS officers and all. So this person, if you even see the name, is this Satya Prakash Trivedi, which is Nitesh's uncle's name.
Okay.
So that character has come from there. Yeah.
Okay. Pritam Vidrohi, Bareilly ki Barfi.
Pritam Vidrohi, all created. All
okay,
created.
Really?
But created with a lot of research. Hmm. So when I was doing my first research in Lucknow, I once went and I saw two characters. One was exactly like Ayushman, other one was exactly like Rajkumar. I clicked that picture. The clothes they were wearing, everything was it, the hair, everything. Hmm. I came back and I said, this is Ayushman, this is Rajkumar.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, was it because of the resemblance or it just...
No, you
had
get
the,
that,
you just get that,
you get that
vibe.
Thing. I also work on a lot of character psychology. I work on each character, especially when I'm directing. As a writer, you can only do so much.
Right.
But then in a directing, I get into the character. I get into the what would be the... I talk a lot to my actors.
Hmm.
So when you're talking to a lot of, especially good, talented actors, a lot comes from their interaction also. So with Ayushman and Rajkumar and even Kriti.
Hmm.
Kriti, I told her to come to... This was the first time she was doing a small town role, you know.
Correct.
So on the first day, she didn't know what was happening. On the second day, she was sitting palti marke on the thing. And she told me this exactly how I'm at home. So I said, what is stopping you from being like this at home? Is because there is Seema ma'am, there is Pankaj ji, there is Rajkumar, Ayushman. All of us are a family here. And she said she's enjoying herself. And then she just took off.
Yeah.
She just took off. I still remember one scene where that next scene.
She was fabulous here.
Not the next scene. Where Ayushman comes and is telling the father that I will print the finishing of the... celebrating the store.
Right.
So he comes and he says that he will print in so much of money and all that stuff. Yeah. So Seema ma'am was inside.
Hmm.
And... first is their scene, right? And she's asking and he's saying that itne mein hi banao and all that stuff. And beta tumhari shaadi ho gayi hai, that kind of thing. So she comes after a long time. So at that point of time, she didn't know what to do.
Mm.
And right after that, we were breaking for lunch.
Right.
And she was inside and she just had to come for one shot outside. Ki beta tumhari shaadi ho gaya hai? That one. The moment she came and we broke for lunch... And she said, "Maine bitti ki sabji banayi hai, chalo khate." So basically, that whole time inside, she was
thinking about that.
She was cooking.
She was cooking.
She saw bindi. It was a real house,
okay.
Right? So the owner must be sabji wabji leke aaye rahenge to chalu kar di. She started cooking.
Super.
So we had bindi that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ashwini, the last question: if your children asks you to narrate the most important memory of your childhood, what would you tell them?
Important memory of my childhood would be about my drawing, my paintings. And, you know, I still have all those.
Okay.
Yeah, the world I was always... And that is something which when I look at them, I say, I was never like this. I was so, like, you know, in so particular about things.
Each and everything.
Yeah, so responsible.
Yeah.
I find a lack of responsibility right now in the kids is because they're okay. They're okay to...
I think there's a lack of ownership, no?
There's a lack of ownership and there's a lack of value.
Hmm.
When you start valuing things is when you will...
Look at it from a completely different way.
And also we didn't have any gadgets, right?
Yes.
And that also made us think a lot more, made us work hard.
True.
With our brains.
Yes.
Because we didn't have anything to depend on. We didn't have any gadgets. And these kids have gadgets.
Yeah.
And I know so many parents who just give gadgets because they don't...
They want them to shut up.
Let's go.
They want them to shut up.
So, that's what it is.
Okay, thank you, Ashwini.
Oh,
I really, really learned a lot. I really, really had a very, very enriching discussion.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I hope, I mean, I don't hope, I'm sure my audience would love this particular episode.
Thank you.
Thank you, audience, for being a part of the fun. Hope you enjoyed our show, The Great Indian Family. Don't forget to share your feedback. Write to Bonjour, Bonjour, at epilogue.media. We will address your queries. Do send us your feedback on Twitter using the hashtag The Great Indian Family. Leave us a review rating on Apple Podcast and make sure to subscribe for the show. We will come back again next Sunday. Till then, let's rock.